You've looked in the bulletin, title of the lesson is A Place to Hide. The song that we've just sung is a marvelous old song. When I say a place to hide, that may be more spiritual than it is physical. But isn't it true that all of us, as we are bombarded with difficulties and difficult times, and we all have them. Some of us are having them now. There are times when we just want to crawl off and be alone and have a place. And I want us to see this morning from Scripture that this is God's desire for us, to put His wing, as the text will say, over the top and shadow us and protect us. And there's a place near to the heart of God where you and I can go and feel safe and feel comfortable and feel at peace. We do that because Christ Jesus and what we remembered here this morning, don't we?
Amen.
So the sense of eternity, God has painted out for us and showed us. And any time in my littleness of time and position that I just don't know what to do and can't bear up on it, I think God says to me, Phil, just come over here and let me put my arm around you. Would you just sit here for a while and be at peace, not in this world, but be at peace knowing what all of eternity is all about. Michael, I think this lesson is somewhere in Revelation. I'm not sure. But I really do think that one of the ideas there is that in all the tribulation that surrounds this world, we have this constant of God. And we can always gain our respite there, regardless of what goes on in the world. So there's a place of quiet rest. There's a place of comfort, sweet. There's a place of full release. And we need those things in our hearts and in our minds continually, don't we? I don't know why I thought of it, but one of the things that sells pretty hot right now, if you get on the internet, is this idea of a weighted blanket. Anybody get involved in that if you got sleep problems? And yeah, all of us old people have that. And so that. I really think it came out of its use in autism syndrome, where they learned that this idea of having weight on us. And the theory behind it is really the idea of swaddling a baby. You're getting to the point where you've got him all tied up there, you know, and he's just kind of safe. He's comfortable. And so that's kind of the idea. The lesson came, it's not an explanation, it's not an exegesis, it's just a bunch of scripture that maybe will point us to a hiding place where we can go. At the end of the lesson, I'm not going to give it before, because if I gave it to you now, you'd be looking at it while I'm preaching. So at the end of the lesson, I'm going to give you a handout of all the scripture, and I want you to hang on to it. And if you ever get there, and it won't take long, if you get there, grab this, go someplace where you can be in your quiet zone, and just let these scriptures lead you into places that are sweet and comfortable. The lesson started in Isaiah 26. I was reading there, and I came across Isaiah 26:20, which we'll look at in a second. And that's where it began. Isaiah 26:3 says, "The steadfast mind you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you." There's some prerequisites on our part here, our trust in God. Moving on, 9 and 10. "At night my soul longs for you." These are poetic words, but I hope we can see them. "Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you diligently. For when the earth experiences your judgments," I expect a lot of that's going on today. I'm not sure about all that. "The inhabitants of the world learn righteousness, though the wicked is shown favor. He doesn't learn righteousness. He deals unjustly in the land of uprightness and does not perceive the majesty of the Lord. Some do, some don't, right? Some won't ever learn. And then verse 20. Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. I like that. I like that in our time. There's times when that's the way I feel. I just want to run someplace, jump in and hide, close the door, and wait for it all to pass. And God says that's okay. In chapter 27, verse 6, in the days to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will blossom and sprout, and they will fill the whole world with fruit. Maybe a prophecy there. That happened in Christ Jesus in another time and generation. Isaiah 51, 16. I put my words in your mouth and have covered you with the shadow of my hand. We sing songs about that, don't we? So he said, my words are there and I've covered you in the shadow of my hand. Isaiah 32, 18. Then my people will live in a peaceful habitation and in secure dwellings and in undisturbed resting places. Psalms 32, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. There's such a pretty picture being painted in all these words. Psalms 91, 4, he will cover you with his pinions. That's a part of a wing on a bird. And under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. That pinion wing idea, Jesus uses it in Luke 13, 34. I can picture the sadness of our Savior sitting up there looking out over Jerusalem. And he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. The picture of God and Israel, isn't it? God always ready, wanting. Israel always running around trying to get in trouble. And God wanted this picture where he could huddle them underneath, and they wouldn't do it. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. From Ezekiel 11, therefore say, thus saith the Lord, though I had removed them far away from among the nations, and though I had scattered them among the countries, yet I was sanctuary for them a little while in the countries where they had gone. And you can just think again of Israel's history. Even when they were in Babylonian captivity, we have much to see God working with them and holding on to them. You'll remember the one in Matthew 6 at verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room and close the door. This is a picture. We understand this. Go someplace private. Go someplace where it's just you and God. There's a good thought there, isn't there? We need to do that more frequently. I can get off script here a little bit. I worry in a society and a culture that is so technology-bound. Is that okay? Is there much time left in any of our lives for being alone? It seems like we surely have, you know, I've got right here in a pouch something that I can plug into my ears here with phones, which that rules you out. You can talk to me the rest of the day. But I can plug in here and have enough stuff here that I could walk around till it was time to go to sleep. I could go to sleep, get up, plug it in again, and never have to listen to anybody or talk. and I could be entertained with something, couldn't I? We can do that in any numbers of places. You can shut the phone down and walk in and sit down in islands down there and watch the TV, you know, and all the extreme sports and stuff. You can go anywhere and be occupied. You can get in your car and turn on the radio. And we get to the point, I'm afraid, where we are just occupied. And that's good enough for us. And it isn't good enough. There are times when we need to, on purpose, just say, go away. I just want to be by myself with the Lord. I want to be someplace that I need to be, rather than someplace that maybe I want to be. And maybe after some practice, we could get to the point where you want to be is with the Lord by yourself instead of out there in the technology zone. Maybe that would be a great improvement. Enough. Psalm 17:8, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Psalms 27, for in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. And he will lift me up on a rock. Let's face it, when we were little kids, wasn't it fun to go in some corner where nobody could get behind you? And maybe under a bed, someplace where they couldn't even see you. And you got back in there and you thought, okay, I'm safe. Was I the only kid that did that? We did it, didn't we? We felt we'd make a fort or something like that, and we just really felt like nobody could touch us. We need to feel safe, folks. God wants us to feel safe. Amen. Psalms 31:20, Roger, I'm on 6 here if I've lost you. You hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in you. Psalms 30. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for a night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. That's a beautiful passage. Psalms 57:1, be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. You remember back up in Isaiah 26:20 where it says, until indignation runs its course? You just stay here for a while and until all of that passes. Psalms 9:9, the Lord will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Psalms 119, you are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Therein is a whole lot of the answer to our problems. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in you. Psalms 32:10, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. We sing a beautiful song, Surround Us, Lord. Remember that one? Psalms 5:12, for it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as a shield. And so without much order, just a bunch of passages that show throughout the text God's wanting us to be close to him, wanting to protect us if we'll let him. About that time, I thought of three what I've called metaphors. Over in Isaiah 26:20, it says, come in and close the doors behind you. And I'm not going to tell you there's a great connection between that and the Lord closing the door on the ark with Noah. But wasn't there kind of a picture there in the ark where God took the souls that would bring the new about and put them in that ark and shut the door, and there they sat as the indignation of the Lord wiped out the rest of the world. There they were. I don't know if there's any great thing in Acts 27:31. Paul's on a boat. The boat's just about to get sunk and they're all just about to die. And a bunch of them want to run off and swim for it and see what happens. And Paul makes this statement to the centurion and the soldiers, Acts 27:31. Unless these men stay in this ship, they cannot be saved. I've heard a whole sermon, and again, I don't know if it's valid or not. Maybe we're overdrawing the story. But I heard a whole sermon on if you don't abide in the ship, and the ship was the church, you can't be saved. And there's some truth there.
Yeah.
There is. We need to stay in the ship, folks. And then I thought of Exodus 12, 22 and 23. The picture here is the Passover, the initiation of the Passover. And I want you to think a little bit. I want you to picture yourself holed up in whatever your house is on that night. And God tells you to slay a lamb. Perfect lamb. It's a sacrifice. And you take the blood, he's telling me about my household. Phil, you take the blood. You put it on the doorpost and on the lintel on the cross. And here's why, Phil. I'm going to send a destroying angel, and he's going to take the firstborn of anybody in any house where he doesn't see the blood. And he says, you go, let me read it here. You take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in blood, which is in the basin. Apply some of the blood that's in the basin to the lintel, to the two doorposts. And then he says this, and none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. So there you and your family sit. Are you saved? If the blood's out there, you bet you are. This is a safe resting place for you to abide. It's a still picture for us if we can get it there. In Colossians 3, I've expanded it a couple of verses. It says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, we rise to walk in newness of life out of Romans chapter 6. I think that's implicit here, that we're buried so that we're planted together in the likeness of his death. That as we raise up, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. If you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And then it says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. There's a good hiding place. Church, there's the only hiding place.
Amen.
It's the only safe house in eternity. I don't mean to embarrass you, Barry, but last Sunday morning, so many of us got so much good out of watching someone born into Christ. And we hide in that. We're safe in the arms of Jesus, as the great old song goes. So we've died and our life needs to be hidden with Christ in God. Psalms 13, 1 and 2. How long? This is one of the issues when we sit around here on this world and we see all the evil. How long? They said it in Revelation there. The elders, I think, were worried about, or the martyrs there. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? I could have put that at the front end. But don't we get to feeling that way sometimes? And I'm suggesting that's God's business. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. You don't know how long you're going to be here. That's God's business. We need to know the shelter and the love and the shadowing that God wishes for us. Hebrews 4 is a chapter about rest. The whole chapter is. I think I've counted about four different ones in there. But there, in verse 9, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That's heaven, I think. It says in verse 11, let us be diligent to enter that rest. We're not tossing darts at a board, folks. We're not tossing coins to hope. We need the confidence that's in Christ Jesus. And we need to access the love that is there, the shadow of His wings, so to speak. How oft would I have gathered you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks? But, oh, let's not. Let's do. And so it's such a simple lesson. I almost gave it up for something different. It's such a simple lesson, but I think sometimes it's such a needed lesson. There is not one of us that doesn't face times when we're scared to death if we're truthful with ourselves. And the only option truly that we have that makes any sense is the eternal option that comes from the attachment to God through Christ Jesus. Without that relationship, there is no safe house. There is no safe place. None of the scripture that I've read makes a hoot's worth of sense. It's only in Christ Jesus, because that's God's design and that's God's gift, and that's what God said it takes to be reconciled to Him. Are you reconciled to God this morning? If not, won't you do that, please? For your sake, but for ours too. We want you in heaven. Will you believe? Will you confess His name before? That's so simple. Yes, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's all you got to, and mean it. You're in process of repenting. This is a change once for all time. You're not going to go back. Never. And so the repentance is there. You're buried in a watery grave of baptism, planted together in the likeness of His death. You put on Christ as you put on a cloak. Baptism doth also now save us. 1 Peter 3:21, I think it is. It's not a bath. It's not a something that we need soap in. It's something we need the blood of Christ in. It's a contact. It's something that is biblical as we follow the process. Would you do that this morning, please? Maybe you're sitting in the audience this morning and I've really hit a note here. You're sitting there saying, man, I needed that. I need a safe place. I don't feel safe. I feel attacked by everything. Now, one of the things we can do is help you in prayer. Fervent prayer of righteous men avail much in James. And we would love to do that as family. Whatever your needs might be this morning, please come together. We stand and sing.